Podcasting 2.0 for February 26, 2021, episode 26. We're manning battle stations. Not that we're going to war or anything. Just manning the battle stations. Why the hell not? Time once again for a Friday show. I love the Fridays, not because I get to podcast, but because it's time for a board meeting of PodcastIndex.org, Podcasting 2.0. I'm Adam Curry in Austin, Texas, and in Alabama, the man who writes prose as well as he codes, my friend on the other end, Dave Jones.
I'm going to make it to Cosmic Weenie one of these days. I'm getting there.
Don't get too excited now, Dave.
It's my goal. I'm going straight to the top.
Yes, everybody. Time once again to get down to business.
What has Mark Cuban, has he, what's the name of his service this week?
Well, I think if I'm reading the headlines, he just invented, he reinvented me. The guy is such a typical venture capitalist kind of douche.
Oh, Fireside, that somebody's already been using that for a decade.
Yeah.
How about Podcasting 2.0?
Yeah.
Let's do that one.
Now, did he actually say that, or was that just I have a feeling it might have been like a one-line throwaway he had somewhere in some Zoom conference?
I don't know. I'm such a stickler about don't just read a headline. Read the entire article, and I forced myself to do that. But I saw that, and I was like,
I don't want to read the article.
I don't want to read that. I would rather just make fun of it. You know.
Well, it is fantastically interesting to me, the Clubhouse phenomenon.
Yeah.
But you know. To me, it's like, who was I talking to? I was talking to Gene. And Gene has, I should back up a little bit. So Gene is a friend of mine, and he's been on, he's been kind of looking at Podcast Index, what we're doing. He was on the Mastodon, and I forget what it was exactly, but we were celebrating some win in a thread, like, hey, you know, this worked. And then he popped in with, well, you know, like my mom couldn't figure it out. It's no good. And I just gave him shit right then and there. So ever since then, of course, he's completely entrenched in Podcasting 2.0, has a podcast, has chapters, has images, is doing transcripts. Is excited about the Satoshis.
Yeah, it's like a cat. You know, the more you abuse them, the more they love you. I mean, you kick them down the stairs, get out of the way. Then they just want to, you know, love and lay in your lap.
Now
you abused Gene, and now he loves you. He's all in.
Now, why was it bringing him up again? What were we talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. Oh no. So then I was talking to him on the phone about Podcasting 2.0 and Clubhouse, and he said, you know, Clubhouse is kind of like where you go into a room and there's all these podcasts and you click on one and it drops you right in the middle of the conversation. And it's a great way, you know, to sample stuff. And if you want to, you can hang around. Now, you can't rewind and go back to the beginning, but you can hang out. And I said, so it's kind of like a push button podcast experience. He said, yes, it's a lot like that. I said, well, have you seen Cast Coverage? And I finally remembered the name, castcoverage.com. And he went over there. I said, no, just hit it. And he says, oh, it dropped me into a random podcast right in the middle. I said, yes, hit it again. I said, oh, and look, it's building up a playlist so you can remember what you listen to. Oh, so I'm thinking of that. And I just wanted to throw it out there that's, you know, Cast Coverage. Why not just call it Clubhouse Coverage? Everyone seems to be stealing names. Call it Clubhouse Coverage and then just have, you know, have it work the same way. And even Podfriend has Podfriender, although it doesn't, I don't think it drops you into the middle of a podcast randomly, but you can swipe left, swipe right if you like what you hear.
That needs to be that needs to be an option, like a preference. Is like also drop me into a random podcast, but also drop me at a random needle drop, you know?
Exactly.
Like the needle drop
exactly.
option.
Exactly. And I think that's it could be a standalone app. I swear to God, just call it Clubhouse for Podcasts. And I love what is possible with the index.
Yeah.
We just need people to free themselves and see what's possible, you know, break out of the mold.
Yeah,
so to speak.
I was reading about Clubhouse a little bit this past week, And I didn't realize that they were being so aggressive with stealing your address book.
Oh, yeah. You can't invite anyone unless you upload it, is what I understand.
Yeah, I mean, they just suck that entire thing off your phone. which still ticks me off a little bit, or concerns me a little bit about Signal. Because they do same thing.
Well, I've been told that that is not true. And, you know, look at this. To me, the only secure chat is going to be a Lightning chat. When I do that, I feel like, okay, no one else touched that message. It went from my node to the recipient's node. I can confirm it. It cost me one Satoshi. No one intercepted that. And it's encrypted. So, no, that's the way. I love that.
Okay, speaking of, you installed a Sphinx node relay on your Raspberry Blitz, right?
Yeah, Raspberry Blitz. Thank you for bringing it up. Yes. This was one of the easiest things I've ever done to a degree, because my Raspberry Blitz is not directly accessible. I have, you know, it's like my home bank. So I didn't want to put that just on my hanging off my cable modem. So you can access it via Tor. And to set up the Sphinx chat, all you do is just select the service in your Raspberry Blitz menu and it installs it. And then it does the same, just like a Zap or a Zeus wallet, which kind of blew my mind because I understood. I mean, I knew how Sphinx chat worked, but it wasn't until I scanned the QR code, it brought up, you know, it said, okay, connected to node. And then I saw, oh, 35 million sats. Oh, this is really a wallet, because, you know, that's what I have on this node. Like, holy shit. So I can stream 35 million sats worth of Satoshis to podcast now. This is cool. And so that in that moment, it hit me like, you can put anything you want on top of LND. You can do all kinds of cool stuff with it.
Okay, so you essentially, I'm talking to you on Sphinx Chat app.
Yeah.
And am I now talking to you on your relay?
Yes.
So how did you manage did you export your keys somehow?
No, I did export my key, but I don't think you can, you can't replace a node with a node.
I got you. You can't like swap out.
Right. So, I still have the iPhone 7 and that has my Sphinx account on it. Okay. And I switched over. Now it only works on my local network, you know, 192.168, etc. But it works really well. What I've been trying now, what I tried this morning, which wasn't that successful because we also had internet outages. And when that's happening in the background, you don't know if something's failing or, you know, you just had no connection. Mm-hmm. And I really thought this was slick, although it doesn't work yet. You can go right into the Raspberry Blitz and say, okay, I'd like to have this on a dynamic DNS, and it has two providers there. And I have my own, but I figured let's use duckdns.org. And it's through a subscription menu that you do this. And so then it ties that domain name to your Raspberry Blitz. And then you can order a Tor to IP bridge, which costs 24 sats to set up and 24 sats every day that you use it. And so it gives you a public IP address that you can map DuckDNS to, and then that will Tor into the node, and that, you know, that Rube Goldberg machine should work. Now, it doesn't work for me yet, but ultimately, yeah, that is the idea, is that when you send me a Sphinx chat message, it goes straight from your node, which would be a Sphinx node, goes out through the router, nothing but net, into mine. And it has the encoded message. I decrypt and good to go.
It's magical.
Even better, you can also set up tribes.
Yeah, well, John Chigi did that.
Yes.
He moved to. Okay, so now the export thing makes sense, because when he did it, he had to get everybody to resubscribe.
Exactly.
He set his new tribe.
Exactly.
Up.
Yep. That's the same. Yeah. Gotcha. That's the problem. Okay. Now, it's not a problem. It's just the way the system's architected. So it's really not a problem.
And you would just need some foresight to know that that's what you wanted to do.
Yes.
Before you really set it up and got it following.
Yeah. Before you start making friends. Because I had to go through the whole thing and say, hey, I'm over here now if you want to reach me. But I really like the idea. I wish I had, Well, not really. I guess the Sphinx app is good, you know. Yeah, there's nothing. I guess there's nothing I really wish for. I wish more people had it. How about that?
Yeah.
You know, but I talked to Ryan Gentry. He has it set up on. He has a Voltage node, and he has his because Voltage nodes now also come with the Sphinx backend. That isn't officially up and rolling yet.
Yeah, I was about to say. I don't know. I don't see that.
No, it's not an option yet. Unless you know somebody who works there, you can get that.
We don't know anybody.
We don't know anybody over there. Yeah. So it's I don't know, man, it's exciting. I dig it. It to me, it's also all new stuff, you know, so I'm, yeah. That's what drives me in this is, oh yeah, I like this. This is new. What am I doing? Shiny.
Do you think, well, okay. So let me ping pong off of that into, since we're talking about Bitcoin stuff and Lightning is the podcast value, documentation.
Yes,
that I put up yesterday. First, what did you think?
Well, first of all, about that. Yeah, well, okay. Congratulations! Fantastic job.
Thank you.
You can write, you bastard.
It sucks too. I hate every minute of it.
Really? Well, I don't. Once I'm into writing, then it goes pretty well. But I really like how you write. Now, you haven't posted the blog post yet, have you?
No, I haven't. I'm still tweaking that a little bit. Okay. I think I may do that like Monday or Tuesday.
When my wife looks at something, because I said, Tina, please review this. We call it the Tina wash. You just throw stuff through and it comes out the other end sparkling. She said,
yeah, it's beautiful.
She said, I really have no changes. She had, you know, a question about something and said, you know, consider rewriting this. But that means you're good, man. Trust me. That means you're good.
It's the little, there's a little lens flare on it, a little, you know, a little flash, nice sparkle.
Yes, exactly. Well, I think it's good. I saw Brian of London made probably a valid point about something, consistency of using share versus split.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That falls into the category of, I'm not sure, that falls into the category of it doesn't matter what we name it. But I'm not saying it falls firmly into that category. I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure yet.
Right.
I just got to think about that.
But anyway, once I see all this stuff working and okay, now I've got it in my head and, you know, knowing how the LN Pay stuff, it works and it's all API stuff and it's really quite simple. I think the money part is just a challenge for most people who look at this with fresh eyes because you're not used to money working this way. Mm-hmm. I can split this money up. I can split into little bits. I can, you know, just poop it out through the system and someone will catch it. I mean, these are all kind of concepts that, you know, goes against banking. Just what we're used to is regular ass banking. None of it really seems logical.
Well, it's programmable money. and that's just so, like, that should make every developer sort of salivate a little bit.
Yeah.
It should make you scared too, but because you can, you know, you clearly screw things up. But it should make, you know, like I think the blog post will go into a little bit more of a some of the stuff around that revolves around it because like okay for instance Cridlin and Sethy, so it was Podland. Mm-hmm. I was listening to Podland last night and by the way, did you shake the dust off yourself when you woke up this morning?
Did I shake the dust off myself? Did I miss something in Podland that I should know about?
Yeah, listen to it.
What did he say?
Sam Sethi said that you seeing there was a problem, you shook the dust off of yourself and crawled back into podcasting.
No, well, that's nice. Yes, just dusted myself off as I was under sawdust.
You got the bat signal and so it's
time to suit up.
Get out of the crypt.
That's funny.
But anyway, they were talking about all these announcements that Spotify made.
Yes, yes, yeah. And all this stuff like, wow, you're reinventing the wheel. How cool.
Yeah, like the Spotify day or whatever this was. And, you know, so they're like, well, we can do polls and Q&A. That's a feature, but it only works on Spotify.
Yeah. Well, that makes nothing but sense.
Yeah, with Anchor. And I'm like, okay, well, you can do Q&A and polls in chapters.
Yes, you can.
I could put a poll or a Q&A in a chapter right now and it would show up on Hypercatcher and Podfriend.
Yep.
You can do that. you can also charge for podcasts, but only in limited availability in certain parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And you can charge $2.99, $4.99, and $7.99.
Well, they're acting like they have captured the industry.
Yeah.
And I just don't, I'm not buying it. I'm just not seeing evidence of them having the industry. And they haven't published any docs on these changes, have they, that anyone could implement that I know of?
No, I mean, nobody can implement it. It's all siloed. It's all in the walled garden.
Yeah, they're probably just making straight API calls.
Oh yeah, it's within their stack. None of this stuff is usable outside of their system.
Well, good.
But I mean, you know, and I'm sitting here listening to this stuff, and I'm like, you know, there is literally nothing that they can do within a closed system that cannot also be done in RSS.
Absolutely.
Nothing. And that is not hyperbole. There is nothing that they can do that can't be done in an open system. And the old knock would be, but it may take longer. They're agile. They can move because they don't have to worry about interop. Well, that's not true because they're slow as molasses.
Yeah.
They're slow. They're saying that, oh, we're going to have Q&A or, you know, paid beta for for subscribing monetary subscriptions and podcasts. And it only works in Anchor. And it only works in Spotify. And it will be in limited beta at the end of the spring. Like, yeah. Oh my God. I mean, we got Lightning up and running in 5 months, 4 months.
We did. It was so fast.
Anyway, that's just, they're not fast. It's not faster. It's not easier to use. Anything you
can do, I can do better.
Here we go.
I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
That's our song. It's our song for today.
Yes, we can.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
Yeah, that's me. That's what it sounds like when I'm petty.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't mind being a petulant child. It aggravated me.
Here's something I was thinking about, because my mind is already going around. Was there some app or something that came out where you can opt in and your behavior will be tracked, and I think you get some benefit for it? But it's like one app, and they clearly want statistics. And I was thinking, we could reverse this process. Now, I haven't thought it all the way through, but we could reverse the streaming Satoshis process easily to allow an advertising bureau to track listening minutes.
Now, stream it right back at you?
Yeah, stream it right at them, and they can track the minutes. You know, it would be so much better. This is a metric that no one has. And it would explode all the IAB bullshit overnight.
I've got it. I've got it.
Okay, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to trademark it. What's the domain name?
No. I've got a brainstorm.
Okay.
So there was this, where did I read this? Oh, I think I read it this morning. There was an article about paid guesting on podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was in Business Insider, and I didn't print that article, but it was essentially saying that there's this whole world of people that want you to pay to be on their show.
Okay.
And it seemed to be a lot of like these, you know, like marketing guru work, you know.
Oh, yeah. People whose business it is to be on shows. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Entrepreneur. You can make, you know, $10,000 from home, you know, and have a better life. This kind of stuff. And it was like,
just become a podcast app developer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the quick way right to the top. But anyway, there's this like, so there's this whole system going on where you can say, well, I've got this, you know, I want to be on your show because I want to promote my show, or I want to promote my book or whatever. Well, different podcasts will charge you $250, $500, $1,000 to have a guest spot on their show. And they don't label it as a paid spot, even though that's what it is. It just shows up as if it was just a random interview. So
right.
What if you reverse the flow, you reverse that flow and say, okay, if you want to gain audience, instead of paying some other podcaster $1,000, You just say, I'll pay all my listeners per minute for as you listen to me for a limited amount of time until I get.
I like it.
An audience until I build my audience up to 300. I'll just reverse the faucet and, you know, reverse the valve and send
what
it back
a good
to you.
Idea. I like it.
Yeah. Pay for audience. I mean, that's what Clubhouse is doing. They're paying for audience right now.
Yep.
Aren't they? Aren't they paying people to Clubcast
they're
or whatever?
Definitely paying some people. Yes. I'm not sure who, but they're definitely paying some people.
Anchor's paying their own people. Their house ads is like 90% of the ads. So, I mean, like, I think that's a good idea.
I love it. Hey, a quick mention of Buzzsprout.
Mm-hmm.
I was already kind of high on this company, and now I understand why no one reached out to me after our last show. Like,
oh, yeah, they were a little busy.
They were a little busy, yeah, with a DDoS attack, which I've witnessed in many different forms. It sucks. What I liked is how they communicated, how they were also communicating publicly to other podcast communities, including ours. And then today I listened to the Buzzcast, and they did a nice job, a whole post-production with music and effects and everything of what went down, 30-minute podcast. It was very good. And, you know, we obviously believe in the concept of open communications with the company. I mean, this is our board meeting, but I've really felt that was not just smart. It shows you what their DNA is, and big kudos all around. They're kicking ass. Did a great job.
Were they trying to pull in the true crime crowd?
Well, they got me
starting last week in the middle of the night.
Wait, so I play a little bit of our new podcast?
Oh yeah, sure. And
get your brush. If you don't have a brush, you can use some toilet paper to make your little trees.
Just wad up your mask and dip it in the paint.
Yes, Dave. I like your tree, Dave.
I've heard that before.
We can do this show, ma'am. That's a great show.
It is capturing the whole headspace craze, you know.
Okay, what do we have? Anything else we need to discuss before we get to our guest, who has been waiting patiently? Although he has been able to listen in, so he kind of gets a free ride on listening to the show.
I'm not going to punish him any longer,
ladies and gentlemen. We have one of our primo podcast app developers with us right now. The man who is without a doubt a Renaissance man. He is from everywhere and nowhere. He's got a Brazilian Portuguese background. He's Italian. He's German. He's lives on Mars. Please welcome Guilherme Delagostin. There we go.
I'll have to hire you for doing my PR, man.
No. You misunderstood. As part of podcastindex.org, it's free.
Yes.
Oh, great. You get it for free, my brother.
It's in the package. Yeah, you're a man of the world.
Kind of, yeah.
So, Guilherme showed up on the Mastodon podcast index.social, podcastindex.social, yes, podcastindex.social. Gosh darn it. So many of these to remember. Very early on, and is one of the premier developers, I would say, always there, always and ahead of the curve. But first, we need to understand exactly what your background is, Guilherme, because we got you on the Zoom call. And so you are you Portuguese or Brazilian?
So I am Brazilian,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of people get this confused because, like, we speak Portuguese in Brazil.
Right.
Yeah, but I am Brazilian, and I lived there until 2013. So basically, I grew up and became an adult there until, like, I was 20 a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Germany. And I have a background as a software developer. I still work on the industry. Now I'm not developing. I am in a very confusing role that it's hard to explain. Like, mainly I work helping to onboard new colleagues and new teams into a project that I am working.
Mm-hmm.
I was never a web developer before, or at least I'm not a web developer by trade. I always worked either on the back end, or, like, it was an ERP software, And before that, I was doing extensions for design software, so it's like completely different. And, well, I got in contact with podcasts around 2012, 2011. And with time, I started to listen to a lot of podcasts. And I still did a lot of listening on my desktop at that time. And I wanted something basically to synchronize between devices and to be free, actually, because I'm a cheap guy. And I was learning a bit of web development there. I was contributing to an internal tool in the company, so it was not my main job, but on the side, I was learning it. And I also got in contact with development of browser extensions, also because of an idea I had before developing PodStation. And, well, I discovered that this, if you do a browser extension, or at least for Chrome, there is a very, very tiny space of sync storage that you can use. It's 200 kilobytes. Like, it's tiny.
Whoa.
Back to the Stone Age.
Yeah, what's up, DOS?
Exactly. It's back to Stone Age. I was like, hey, I can, if I had a floppy disk, I could store more data.
Right.
But it was enough at least to store the list of podcasts that I subscribe to. And that's how it started. So in the beginning, like the first version that I published was, it didn't even have a player. It was just like you use the iTunes search.
Just click download or whatever.
Yeah. You click download, you listen it in either directly in the browser, but not with a player like this standard player from the browser, or you download to listen. And then with time, I started adding features and then adding a player, a playlist. And well, now today it's a full-fledged thing with some features that I decided not to implement because, like, for instance, a lot of people ask, why cannot I mark something as listen that I already listened?
Because that takes up too much storage.
Exactly. So I could do it locally. I guess that a lot of people listen in a single device, but then I have to distinguish what goes locally, what goes in sync storage. And it would be very confusing for people that use in both devices, because then you have it marked in one device and it's not marked in the other device.
Yeah.
And then I decided, okay, if I cannot implement it in a good way, then I will leave it out. But basically, that's it. Whatever I can fit in this 200 kilobytes goes in. So the playlist, the progress of your podcast, as long as it's not too much. I think in this whole time, only one or two people came to me and say, hey, it's not working. And then we looked at it and it was full because it's, it's using the...
Yeah, I mean, before you continue... going from Brazil to Germany, is that a typical jump for people, or is that something you, I mean, how did that come about? What was the process, if you don't mind me asking?
But it was a bit particular. So I work for a company that's a German company, and they had a subsidiary there where I live in Brazil. And also my wife, she's a physicist, and she was looking for a PhD on Europe, or at least outside.
There it is. Yep. There it is. It's always for a woman, whether you're looking for one or following one.
That's true. And she basically brought me to Europe, and we came together, and we managed to do it in a way that she did her PhD, and I got a transfer, so she was studying near to the place where I could work here.
That worked out good.
Yeah, Excellent. And we stayed. Basically, that was how it worked.
Excellent. So, now I use PodStation almost every day that I'm in the studio, because that's the only... machine I have that I use that is a desktop. I use my Graphene OS for everything else. And so first of all, thank you, because it is the easiest, quickest slam dunk player there is. It's always there. You know, I don't have to go to my start menu and just like, oh, I click this thing up here. And the fact that you were outside of Sphinx, well, really from the Sphinx proof of concept, the first one to implement the streaming sats value for value is just phenomenal. And I know that you're seeing me use it because you say, Hey, someone sent some sats this way. What's going on? Yeah, that's me. And
yeah, it was the first time I got any sats. I think it was from you. And I don't know if anyone else is using, but I knew at least from you, I was going to get something.
How hard is it to write a decent browser extension. I mean, like I've done a little bit of it in the past. I wrote one extension to do something within our company, and it was for Chrome. And I remember just sort of getting so frustrated and banging my head against the wall about all the limitations you had to jump through. I mean, I couldn't imagine writing a podcast app in that. Is it? I mean, did you just like want to scream and jump out a window?
No, not at all. Actually, it's the opposite, because it facilitated some stuff for me. Like it's basically like a web app, but there's some stuff that I use the APIs from the extension. One big advantage is you can get around this cross-origin resource sharing thing.
The dreaded cores.
Yeah, that's something that have been keeping me away of trying to do a web version of it for a long time. It's a big limitation. I even started to code a web app based on Ionic, like this framework for hybrid development. It works, but it didn't get so far because I wanted to focus a bit more on the extension. I think that. Yeah, now with the index, it's much easier because you can get a lot of stuff from the index and get around this. Because if you get to the point where you get to the audio file, like to the URL, then you can play it, because you can, if you don't do like a HTTP request from inside your code, from the JavaScript, then you can get around this. But if you had, for instance, to fetch the feed and parse the feed, and then the feed is not cores enabled, then you cannot do it. And then the index, you can resort to that.
What was the point of this evil cores in the first place? Is it for some kind of hack that people can do? That's what it's trying to avoid?
I think it's something like when you are in your domain, you cannot get data from the other domains or post data to the other domains unless the other domain allows you to do it. But it's a big limitation, I think, for progressive web apps, especially this kind of progressive web apps, and especially for having a decentralized web. When you have a Chrome extension, you have the permissions. And in my case, I am very permissive. I mean, if you install it, it's going to say, hey, this extension can read data from all the websites you visit and stuff like that. But that's because I didn't put yet the effort to do this more fluent permission requests. Like when you are going to access that domain, then I ask you, hey, can I access this domain? But then... this could also be a bit annoying.
Can kind of ruin the experience.
Yeah, exactly. But at least something similar for progressive web apps should be there, where I say, hey, I don't need to post stuff. I only need to get stuff from these domains. And then I ask for the permission. And then if the user says, oh, yeah, okay, you can get it. And then you don't have to refresh that very often. This could be an okay experience, but it's a very big limitation for distributed web apps based on RSS and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it certainly is.
I don't know how you did it, but with no space with 200 kilobytes to work with, and you still got LMPay working fine in there, because you support both interfaces, the REST API and the LNPay. I mean, you are so ahead of the game. It's fantastic.
I didn't know the Macaroon stuff was still in there. So you can do both?
I think so.
You can do both. Yeah, you can select. Yeah. It's both.
Oh, wow.
You go there to the options. Yep. And you can select an LND node. I wanted to implement other nodes as well, but I don't know how popular they are. I think I had to start with something. So I went
C Lightning. To LND. Yeah, I think LND. Yeah, you're pretty safe with LND.
Yeah, I think it's the most popular.
What have you run up against? What were some of the problems you run up against for the other developers who were implementing this now? Was anything particularly difficult?
No, not much, actually. But one of the things, it's like the conversion of data that you have to do, like from binary to X to something else, and then figure out exactly what is the formatting that you have to do when you consume the APIs. But once it's up, it's quite simple. I mean, it's more like... you spend a little bit of time fine-tuning and finding exactly what you have to send through the APIs. And once you get there, it's quite easy.
And doing that without a back-end server, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, one of the limitations is like you having to install the certificate, because if you run a node, it has to, on your own, it's going to be HTTPS and it's going to be, right. have its own certificate. Mm, right, so you right. had to do yeah. it probably. Yeah, but aside from that, it's quite simple. It's just consuming an API on a remote system. And the LN pay was quite easy too. So yeah, I think that this technical part of actually consuming the APIs and triggering the transmissions, it's the easy part. I think the part that's going to be a bit of a struggle is that you have to start building a small accounting system inside of your application, because you start having to accumulate these values. If it's offline, you accumulate for a long time, so you have a persistency for that kind yeah. of stuff. And once you start doing that, you have to think, how do I show this to the user? So this is something I completely don't do, and I completely don't have persistency right. for that. So right. I start accumulating.
So if yep. they go offline, so if your app goes offline, you right now you're just no payments, and so when it comes back online, then you're not tracking it in a way where you can batch the stuff together later.
It stays in memory, so as long as it doesn't unload, it would work. But on the other hand, you need to be online to listen to the podcast unless it's buffered until a certain point. But it is I don't mm-hmm. have the option mm-hmm. to download for offline listening yet. Right. So yeah, if you went offline for a certain time, it's going to accumulate. If you go back, then it's going to send that accumulated values. But it's a very short time span. If you wanted to have something more like a traditional podcast app experience and really download and listen offline, then you need all this accounting on the back end. On the background. To collect all this data, to maybe show, hey, this is pending, or this is what you sent before. And now the challenge is a bit of a UX challenge. How do I show this to the users? I mean,
what I really love, it's just me, so please don't build this, but I love popping up the log and seeing everything, you know, scroll by. I'm like, okay. And it says, oh yeah, collecting data for payment. Oops, not enough yet. Waiting. And then it's like, okay, sending payment, sending complete. It's like, oh, this is so nice. It made me feel good.
It did. Yeah, when I implemented that, it was mainly for debugging, because I had no other way of seeing what was happening aside from looking at the log of the node. And yeah, I grew attached to it. It's nice to see it building up.
There's UX, man. I just love seeing that. I mean, it can be as simple as how much I've sent so far, but for some reason, I just love seeing that log. You know, it's like, hey, while you're listening, look at what's going on in the background. Boom, another.
Well, at least I'm not the only one that does print debugging.
I cannot survive without it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I've used plenty of debuggers, but I'm like, I just keep falling back to, it's so easy just to drop a printf in there and just move on with my life, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, so that's going to be a challenge, I guess. How do you present this to the users? Because now what I am doing is basically I am accumulating based on the nodes and I already introduced this custom record, because I am using LNPay to get the 1% commission.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that in the documentation that I posted yesterday? I put the custom record.
No, I didn't see the documentation yet, but I am very curious to see that.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing groundbreaking. I'm just trying to formalize what you had talked about earlier. It's just a custom key and a custom value. And it's just, they're just optional attributes now. And it turned out that Sphinx is going to need that too, because they're doing some stuff that I'm not sure if they're ready to talk about it yet, but Paul was saying that they're doing some things, and he was like, yeah, can we really need a way to pass some metadata in? And I'm like, well, you know, Guillermo, he needs that same thing too. So let's just go ahead and formalize this.
How we do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the custom, because we were, batting around this idea of putting, well, do you put all in the string with a delimiter, or, you know, and I think they and you both were just like, no, it's just easier doing attributes. So hopefully that'll work for you.
No, yeah, I think it will work. I mean, as long as we have at least one custom record that we can put there with one key and one value, that should be sufficient, I think, for most cases. And in the future, if we need more than one custom record, then we can expand the namespace somehow.
Guillermo, you said that you were using something to get the 1% commission. Can you just explain what you're talking? I think I know what you're talking about, but how that works, what you're doing there?
Yeah, so basically, we currently have the split that right before I didn't implement thinking that it had to be 100% the sum of the split, so I was already treating it as shares.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is I basically normalize it in a way that I will that the shares will now sum up to 99, let's say, and then mm-hmm. I take this 1% and I add this as one split that sends it to LNPay with this custom record that identifies the wallet.
Right.
And the idea, I guess, for the future is that this is what Dave was mentioning, that in the namespace, we can also support these nodes that have like virtual wallets on top based on custom records.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is partially implemented already in PodStation because I am using to get my 1%. But once we have this in the index and also in the namespace, then I can also parse this. And anyone could use a wallet like LNPay to also get paid, which I think it's a big deal because it will also make the onboarding for podcasters big much
time.
Easier. And
big
that's,
yes, much
that's
easier.
Very important.
Yeah, much easier.
So what do you need? You mentioned the other day, I think on the Mastodon, that you were needing a feed. They would implement that so that you could test it?
No, it's very easy for me. I can produce a feed myself. I was just thinking about somebody that's actually like a podcaster that would use it productively, like because it's so easy to do the onboarding that if somebody's interested, then it would be a very good use case.
Oh, okay. I got
I'm a podcaster.
Well, if you want to switch now to LNPay, it's for the receiving end, right?
Yeah, so I have an LNPay wallet.
Maybe what you could do is put part of the split goes to your
goes to my
regular node, and the other part goes to LNPay. Mm-hmm. That could also be a way of doing it.
Yeah, so because whenever we're doing this, I just say to Dave, "Hey, can you switch my node again?" what I have noticed, there's some
I say yes.
Yes, there's some client out there somewhere that is still sending me, or maybe there's some feed out there. Something in the index is not changed because I'm seeing a 3 Satoshi payment from Sphinx Chat coming through on my Curry node, to my home node, and that, we haven't used that in ages.
Oh, that's
so
weird.
I wonder if it's a caching thing or if maybe we didn't change one of them. I don't know. I would presume you just do a search and replace.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, it's a bit, yeah, they're all changed.
If you're searching, I know what we'll do. This is my first node, so we're about to do a different search. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Oh, I got you.
Doesn't matter. But yeah, we can switch at least one of the shows just to see how, it doesn't matter, right? Just change them all. See him come in. I can't wait to. Yeah, we'll try that. We'll let you know, Guilherme. I'll do that.
All right. Cool.
I'm a very good guinea pig. Because when I break something, I just call Dave.
Yeah. Thanks. Mm-hmm. That's not what I call a good guinea pig, by the way.
Yeah. Once that's in the index, just let me know and I will implement that.
So what are your plans with this? Because clearly. There is value flowing to you. That's good. I mean, we know it's not very much. We don't have a lot of, we're still building everything out. Where do you see this going for you personally?
Oh, man, that's a difficult question. I didn't think that far ahead. I mean,
you do have quite a few users, though, right? I mean, don't you have like over 1,000?
Yeah, it's... I have 50,000 installations on the browser.
Wow.
They are active in the sense that they are installed because I think the way that the Chrome Web Store does it's if your browser tries to get new updates, it counts as an active installation. In my analytics, I have more or less 1,500 active users per day and 5,000 per week and 14,000 per month, something like that. So I did the math, and actually, even if all of them were streaming value at 1%, I would be getting like, I don't know, $6 a day or something like that. So unless I can expand my customer base, let's say I don't even call them customers because I mean it's a hobby project.
It's free. Yeah.
It's free. It's it wouldn't be too much. Actually, my interest is kind of a hobby interest, and I always wanted to have this kind of value thing for podcasts, not for like for me as a consumer of podcasts, and also for the podcasters, because I hate to see the podcasters having to do advertising and stuff, and you listen and it's like it doesn't sound natural, and I'm like, ah man, it shouldn't be like that. And if you can put your money there, it's nice.
Let me give you a couple suggestions. Free advice. First of all, if you could implement the boost functionality, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but on Sphinx, they have a button. You can configure a one-time payment just by hitting that button. So you can do
that wouldn't be hard. I'm already thinking about doing that and putting some big button on the player where you can boost.
Yes, because you will see the difference in your 1% as well. That's really where the money is being made. I'll be honest with you. At these, because I'm tracking, the index node, and the index node is doing between $1 and $2, depending on what day of the week. Sometimes it's half, and we really don't have a lot of people using these things. So, but if I go in and analyze, what's really nice is, and of course this changes over time, as we started this project, Bitcoin was what, Dave, 20,000?
Yeah, it was 16. Even, 16. 16 or 17.
Yeah. So, the values have gone up while the value sliders have stayed relatively the same. So the default of 5 or 10 sats, is looking better than it used to. But man, it is the boosts. And that'll get you excited. And I think since you're so far ahead of everybody, and I know you have your restrictions, but it kind of makes it cool. The more you can surface of that kind of stuff, when boosts occur, but just the fact that you as a user are sending some value and you have a tally of that, I think it'll make it very exciting. And then there's something else which may or may not be interesting to you, because it just came out today. I saw it today, but it's been out for a couple days. Apparently, Chrome, and I presume Chromium, is looking at implementing some kind of RSS aggregation / reader functionality, and they're going to be adding a follow button so that you can follow. And this was the smartest thing that Odeo ever did before they became Twitter, is to, so instead of subscribe to this website, they're saying follow. And the thinking is that this is some kind of under the hood, reader that they're putting in there. And my feeling is somehow it makes sense for you to also look at how you could do streaming value for value payments for people reading articles.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That would be interesting. I mean, I have seen, sometimes I see text there on the UI of PodStation, because people sometimes mix in the feed, articles and podcasts. And, yeah, I think for that I would have to have a button there that says, okay, donate or send this much to this feed.
I'm thinking it on the scroll, man. You scroll down halfway through, boom, payment goes out.
Yeah,
or just have something. or just a boost.
Just a boost, maybe. Yeah, I'm only saying it because somehow when these things start to happen, I see RSS coming back into play. There may be a whole nother system that needs to be set up, a whole nother index. Not that we're going to do it, but I'm just saying this shit is happening here. And with all the deplatforming, all the, we'll just call it what it is, censorship. If you got advertising, you're being censored one way or the other. There's a movement, man. And our timing for once in my life is probably spot on. Everyone is looking for alternatives.
You've got to have, if you're a developer who can swing getting something as complicated as this time interval based payment keysend stuff working, then something like paying, like boosting for an article, that is like dead simple compared to this, man.
Right.
Yeah, it's not complicated. No, that part is the easy part.
Yeah, we still like need a value block and all that stuff. You know, that still needs
to
happen. That's
yeah.
still needs
to yeah. No, I think that the complicated part is like building something attractive that has that functionality, like building the reader that is nice and had nice features and that functionality.
Because mm-hmm.
I think that's something very nice, but I think that if you don't have the rest, then that's not going to fly. It would be a completely different product. I mean, I wouldn't put it together with PodStation. It would be like a separate extension or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The problem is there is already a lot of other extensions for that. So it would be competing with them. But yeah, maybe that would be the differentiator.
Substation. Call it Substation.
Substation.
to like capitalize on some of that Substack mojo.
Yeah, but I think you guys will want me to focus on the podcasting part. At least it's the
well, domain course, I already of know. Course, yeah. Of course.
No, we want you to focus on 15 different things all at once. That's the way we roll around here.
Do I detect some animosity, Dave Jones?
No, I love you.
it is the way we go.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. What did we still have on deck for Guilherme? He has no plans for the future. He doesn't know what he's going to do. Okay.
That's the best. I mean, that was
exactly.
If I made plans before I started PodStation, I wouldn't have made it because I realized how hard it was. I prefer to just follow, and it's better. If I start doing plans, I give up.
Well, but I want to know what you're a coder. I want to know what your like what background did you have? Were you JavaScript from the beginning, or did you come from some other technology?
No, I didn't know. I knew nothing about JavaScript. Actually, from all the times I tried to do web development before, I kind of failed.
Okay, wait. I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess what your language was before.
Oh, I doubt you are going to get it, but let's try.
Oh, yeah, that's a challenge. So you said it was not web related. I'm going to say that it had something to do with embedded industrial control.
No. So in the very beginning, so the first half of my career, let's say, I was coding in C++. So you know this very famous design software. I don't know exactly how it's pronounced in English. I think it's AutoCAD or something
AutoCAD.
Like that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
AutoCAD. Yeah. So I work it for a company that did some extensions for AutoCAD, and we did that in C++.
Ah, there's your extension background.
Oh, yeah, I never thought about that, but yeah, that's my extension background. And then I moved into this big company. It's SAP. Maybe you've heard about it.
Yeah.
It's more in the enterprise world.
Of course.
And they had a very proprietary, still have a proprietary platform, and this language, ABAP, it's called. And it's only used in this context. So
yeah, I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
You got me on that one.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mentioned before, they had this internal tool, and it was this was a web tool. And it was coded, of course, in JavaScript, but with AngularJS, so the first one-point-something version of Angular. And I learned a little bit of it to do an extension on that tool for something I needed. Again, an extension. And and that was how I started. And then I started PodStation first without Angular. And then I said, okay, I'm going to use this. And it's still using AngularJS. So, and I am thinking about moving little by little maybe to React, since it's so popular now.
Yeah.
But the thing is, there is, I wouldn't even say there is a stack or something. What you get in the browser is what I code. There is no transpiling. There is no bundling. There is no nothing. It's like one-to-one.
Bless you.
And although I love that, I'm starting to hit some limitations. So I'm thinking now about moving to a more modern stack and putting maybe some TypeScript to get me some type safety and all that kind of stuff, some bundling. So I have to investigate that. there is a bit of technical debt. One of the reasons I want to look into that is because Chrome is moving the extension format now to this manifest V3, and there's a lot of incompatible things. And I will eventually have to move because they will deprecate the version 2.
Did that break a bunch of stuff for you?
A bunch of stuff. And one very important thing, I cannot play the audio from the background anymore. So I don't know if that's how you use it, Adam. But a lot of users, they play it and they close the tab and it keeps playing in the background. And that's something I cannot do with the MV3 anymore. There is already an open feature request, but God knows when they're going to look at it.
No, I don't close the tab. I like keeping it open.
All right.
That's just me. The only thing, I'd love for more people to try this out. Have you considered a little more documentation for people who want to try out your experimental section of the options?
Yeah, I have to do that and put a link in the options. I did everything I did in a very rushy way just to get it out there, but I definitely have to do some more comprehensive documentation.
Yeah, because I love promoting stuff, so you know, whenever I can make it as simple as possible for the people who are going to pick it up, so they don't get too frustrated. So as we said at the beginning, you know, whenever you need the PR push, let me know.
When did you first release BotStation? How long has it been out?
It's a long time. First time was 2015.
Somewhere. Oh, wow. That's been a
the
while.
Middle of 2015.
Wow. Mature code base.
Yeah, I have been maintaining it for quite some time. And I would say it's mature. I won't say I am ashamed what is there. I could have done it better, but it was my learning project. Yeah. But when you have a pet project and you have limited time, you have to accept that you are going to have cut some mm-hmm. corners there. All in all, I think it's a good code base.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna have to write a review because the Chrome Web Store is like not enough. With 2018, we got to do some. There's some 2020s there. People like it. Look at this.
Oh yeah, that leaves reviews. I mean, the rating is up the roof. I mean, it's 4.6.
Bro, you got four. Yeah, you got over 4.5.
yeah, it's not bad.
No, it's excellent, outstanding, very nice.
So do you get contacted with people wanting you to take their podcast off PodStation?
That seems to be the rage right now. I never got that. I was reading the thread on Mastodon from Martin, and I was surprised. I mean, nobody ever asked to get something removed from.
Did anybody draw you a picture in crayon of your logo?
No, that was interesting. That was cute, actually.
What happens? That immediately made me think it was comic strip blogger in disguise. I'm like, okay, he's drawing.
Busted.
Yeah, what happens from time to time, and I get random emails of people asking, do you want to sell BotStation? And they don't even have an email from a company. It's like a Gmail email. They say are from a company and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Oh, my God. And a few people I got back to, so the ones that were a little bit more serious, or looked more serious at least. And one guy offered me like $400 and stuff.
Wow!
I would buy it for $400.
Shit. I'll pay five. I'll pay five right now, cash.
I'll pitch in. I'll pitch in.
I'll pay him Bitcoin.
Come on, you are gonna buy my hobby. What I'm gonna do with my free time? You're gonna give me $400.
Dude, I'll pay you $400 not to email me anymore.
Well, Guilherme, since you are here, we do have something we need to do from time to time on the show. And, I think it really pertains to you because I'm very interested if you are feeling the love.
And now it's time for some hot namespace.
Oh, yeah. Talk. Are you feeling the namespace?
Man, I already mentioned namespace twice. I know. Three times, I didn't get it. It's like, where's the jingle?
He was dropping clues.
You got it, brother. You got it. So obviously, you support portions of the namespace. What are the other? It's kind of an interesting app in that regard. I think PodStation is something that a lot of people want because it's out of the way, And because it's kind of in the background, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so the, I think I only support funding and Valo. And Valo is very experimental. Funding, I think I was the one that suggested even. Because I always wanted to make it easy to hit one button and go to the place where you give money to the podcasters. Some of the things I am really not much into, like location, and I think that there was something else that was like I never thought
person?
About using
what about
that.
Person?
No, person. I actually am into it. I didn't have the time to engage with the thing, but there is a lot of nice stuff that you could have, like search for episodes that somebody participated in, and then it's getting from multiple feeds. I think that's a nice thing, or even that you don't search directly for that person, but I am listening to a podcast and who is this guest, and then okay, I click there, and then it show me episodes from other podcasts. I think that's a very interesting one. Actually, before this namespace, I have created one namespace that I never advertised it too much, and I never did anything with it. That was called Social RSS.
And I remember you linking to that. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I think exactly. And I think when I proposed the funding, I linked to it, because in that one, I already had the funding or monetization or something like that. Mm-hmm. And also links to the social handles of the podcast, and also from the participants and stuff like that. But it was a bit complicated. Like I defined it, I think I only defined it participant, and then there was like permanent participant and guest or something like that. And also something that was like a reference to a participant, because you could define it on the channel. And then in the items, but you didn't want to duplicate everything on the item, so you reference to the one in the channel. It's a bit more complicated for parsing and stuff, but it saves you. Let's say if you are building the thing manually, and it saves you a bit space in the feed. I think the chapters and the transcription, they are nice. I want to implement at some point. I just didn't have the time. And also, these are a bit more demanding to me, because I have to think on the user experience. And that's a part where it always takes a little bit more time. I don't know how Martin does, because he comes up like you think of a tag, and he comes up with in PodFriend, there is already a very nice user experience for it.
Does UI guys like him drive me crazy? Because I'm beating my head against the wall trying to make something look like a button look pretty. And, you know, they can do it in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, PodStation is not minimalistic just because of a design decision. It was by my lack of skill. It was like I couldn't do something more than that.
I'm failing you, man.
And it's actually a big advantage, because a lot of people that give reviews say, wow, that's very simple and minimalistic and stuff. And that's what I can do. And I like to keep it that way. So I always think very carefully before doing changes.
Hey, Adam still uses Mutt for his email.
I do.
I have no idea what that is.
Mutt? It's a great command line email. I have it tricked out and scripted. You know,
I may have used it one time. Long time ago.
I'm sure. We all use it at one point. So I was just messing around when you guys were talking. I don't see the. I don't think the funding tag works. Or at least not what I wasn't. Whenever I click on the donate. It goes to you, which I'm happy to donate to you, but stop. No, it's like a lot, Guilherme.
I need to work in the UX there. Actually, I want to, if you go in the list of podcasts, you will see a bit of a hidden, not hidden, but it's there. Like if you look in the podcasting 2.0, you will see like a fund this podcast or something, but it doesn't call your attention. I really need to do something about that. I think at least what I want to do first, I want to make that maybe the same yellow that I have in the donate button, the main
one. That would help. Yeah, that would help.
And when you play an episode of a podcast that has funding, I want to show a button on the player too. So that
What's really sexy though is if you're using PodStation and then you flip over to your LN Pay wallet, it's kind of cool because it, you know, now you have to refresh, but it shows you the share split payment, shows you when it went, what time. I mean, it would take a small amount to translate that and say to, oh, this is part of the podcasting 2.0 podcast you were listening to. Mm-hmm. I just find it exciting. I mean,
you mean the logs now?
I'm in LNPay, just looking at the LNPay wallet page,
which is kind of
mm-hmm. technical.
So you're seeing it going out and then on one side and coming in on the other side?
No, because my incoming is to my voltage node. Okay. That's my personal. And this is just, I put 10,000 Satoshis every time on the LNPay wallet. And I just can't tell you how much I appreciate that you're doing this, Guilherme. It's so nice to have a stable operating implementation of this outside of what we already had with a proof of concept with Sphinx, who are also doing their upgrades. Mm-hmm. I just love it, man. And I hope we can get more people to use it.
Yeah, I hope so. It's very nice to implement this. It's now just I have to think on how to make it more accessible.
On the namespace side, what are there any tags that are not in there that you really think would be a good thing to focus on for like phase three?
Oh, not from the top of my mind now. I was so focused on this value thing that I kind of mm-hmm. forgot a little bit about the other ones.
Because I'm really thinking about the alternate enclosure tag. It really seems to be an issue.
Oh, that one is nice.
We need to be able to flip back and forth between audio and video in the same feed and not have to produce two feeds for it. That seems like a great idea.
Yeah, I think one of big use case for that is the quality of the audio or bit rate or however you want to call it. I think especially for people that are listening on the mobile or stuff like that, there are many countries where the bandwidth is not great. So having this all in one feed and then you can select like a default quality and then it falls back to that, it would be great.
What about Brazil? Is bandwidth okay in Brazil?
For if you use it at home with your Wi-Fi and landline, it's quite okay. And it's unlimited. You don't have to worry about that. On the mobile, it's a bit more expensive and a bit more limited. So I think mm-hmm. most people probably download it before offline usage.
Okay. Yeah. I would think that could be easily, you know, like an auto selection too, if you're, you know, if the app detects that the rate, you know, it's low and it's running out of buffer space, I mean, it can just automatically downgrade to the lower audio quality.
Yeah, it could do that. Yeah, so it's kind of this automatic quality on YouTube and stuff like that adjusts automatically. Yeah.
Does PodStation support video or do you plan on supporting it?
No, I did a proof of concept once. I have to tweak it a little bit because by default it plays on the background, so I don't render anything on the tab. And in the video, I of course would have to play it to put it on the tab. But there was so little demand for that so far that I never put a lot of effort there.
Yeah, especially being a backgrounder kind of thing seems like.
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't want a foreground. Yeah.
Yeah. But I have been thinking more and more about that. And to be honest, I don't like YouTube very much. I mean, it has a lot of functionality. It's great. I even pay the premium thing. But I hate the fact that people put all their content in a single platform. It's maddening. I mean,
yes.
I cannot understand. I mean, even the big channels that they could simply say, hey, I want to have some leverage. So,
you know,
it's not that hard to put in other platforms.
I've been looking at this and I finally understood the problem. And, you know, when we started Podcast Index and people said, oh, this would be, you know, can't wait when you do it for video. And I'm sitting there going, what is wrong with
these people? It's already there.
But I figured out what the problem is. And it is such a monolithic problem from so many angles that there's almost no incentive to solve it. And I shall explain it. Because I've now been playing around for several months with Buzzsprout, with Libsyn, with Blueberry. Any others? Those are the main ones.
RSS.com.
I haven't used the RSS.com.
Oh, okay.
But I know, I think they'll probably have, they all have the same issue. because of the bandwidth and the storage necessary. If you open an account with any, I think, as far as I know, with any of these, you have an X number of megabytes or gigabytes, usually megabytes, to store. And at the lowest plan, and they have to, because they're, you know, well, the disk storage is one thing that's gotten pretty inexpensive. But if you have an episode and it's a gigabyte of video because it's an hour, or that you could compress it a lot more, but let's say it's half a gig, that's going to cost them a lot more in transfer cost, particularly, you know, and so they've artificially made this inaccessible to people. And people have no idea. They don't understand why this can't be done. They say, oh, I just got this many megabytes, whatever. I can't do video. I guess you can't do video. If we had an alternate storage solution, this would revolutionize everything overnight. It's just because people have learned over at least 10 years, I can't upload video. I don't have enough space. That's the only reason. Every player pretty much handles it.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
It's on the hosting side. This is a big problem. And of course, I mean, in YouTube, people are used to, I get a video on the best quality possible, I upload, and they handle everything, the storage,
that's
they
convert it.
To the other things and everything, and you forget it.
Yeah.
And then they would expect something similar from the hosting, like I upload this video and then you will produce a feed with many different qualities, or even have some way to have this adaptive quality with a single URL. I don't know. There's a lot of expectation there. With audio, it's way simpler.
And yes, but the beauty is the receiving end, pretty much everybody, even cellular phones. Now it's going to eat up more data, which could be a problem in some countries. But in general, the receiving side is set up. You know, I have enough bandwidth to progressively download and start playing a video. Almost any device can do that. Almost any connection can do that. It is purely a hosting pricing issue. And I understand, and I'm repeating this because I know they're listening. I understand it's scary to give up one of the things that, that you're providing, but think about how beautiful it will be when for your customers, they will seamlessly not know that it's distributed in HASS space or in IPFS or whatever it is, and you can charge them progressively with small increments for their file access instead of and file storage and transfer, instead of just making it a hard no and having your user interface, your user experience be what people pay for. And yes, YouTube is free. And free comes with a lot of expensive downsides if you build a business on it and all of a sudden you get canceled or any of this stuff. It is something that we can solve together. Podcast Index is ready, willing, and able to be an IPFS node, to be a PIN node, and we know there's business models that will work. We just have to all kind of do it, and so that's my final call out to the hosting companies.
Yeah, I think I think you're right. I think you nailed it. It's the scary part. It's the scary part from just an unknown. I mean, you open the floodgates to that and it's like, man, what?
But also if it works, you can double your profit, maybe triple.
Yeah.
Think about that.
See, you know, that it's, there's gotta be somewhere that you've got to almost go to that next level up in order to. That's where Google and, you know, Cloudflare and these guys, they have elevated their business up to the next level of internet infrastructure, to where the bandwidth is not so much of a problem because they're living in the carrier domain anyway.
Yes, they are.
And so they just really have a strong advantage. And if you're anywhere in any tier below that, you have to play in their playground.
Well, how about this? I'm very familiar with what they do. You know, just like Netflix, you know, Netflix is not streaming from one server in California, obviously, but they get boxes. They drop boxes into exchanges and then into cable companies themselves, and they will and they'll pick it up from there.
That's the way to do it.
But we can use the same basic systemology as Microsoft uses for their updates, where if you're on a segment of a cable network, you should be able to be serving portions of video files to other people on that network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the technologies are there. All of it's there. We just have to do it. And I'd hate to have to do it and then have to become a hosting provider to do it. I don't want that. I don't.
Yeah. What would be pretty cool would be if we go into this IPFS game and people can have like in their houses a piece of storage where the content that they consume, they also store and serve there, and plug this into the value for value thing with the Lightning.
Yep.
Imagine you could get a piece for the hosting. I mean, that's way more complicated because you don't know where you are hosting from and you cannot put this into the RSS directly. But I mean, eventually we can think of how to make that possible.
IPFS, and Dave will correct me if I'm wrong, IPFS has a way to interact, and we could do this with, well, we talked about it a million times, LSATs, where there's a payment for the for the API exchange, and it's in Satoshis, which is just beautifully simple. I was that was with my Raspi Blitz that we were talking about earlier. I just hit the Tor2 IP bridge, and it said, okay, this is going to cost you 24 sats every 24 hours. And I just said yes. I never authenticated anything. I just said yes, and it went, you know, because everything was already connected. So this can be done the same way for hosting. And I think IPFS has that built in, doesn't it, Dave?
I don't know that it has. I think they're using Filecoin. Well, not LSAT, is it?
No. But Filecoin, I don't think it's necessary to use Filecoin as the value mechanism.
Oh, you can layer on top.
I think you can layer anything on top of IPFS. Yeah, I think so. If not, we'll just make it so.
Well, we just need to have the IPFS guys on the show and ask them about it.
Who are the IPFS guys?
I don't know. You know, there's the IPFS guys.
Well, go find them. Hey, IPFS guys, hit us up. info@podcastindex.org.
There's always _ guys. They're there somewhere.
Speaking of guys, why don't we take a moment, Dave, to thank people who support the Podcast Index project, Podcasting 2.0, this podcast, have really been supportive. We've been able to run on donations since the very beginning. If you'd like to support us, it's value for value. Whatever you get out of this, maybe just like listen to this podcast, you learn a little bit about what's happening. Maybe you're a podcaster and you're excited about these features. Whatever it is, just turn that into a number and send it back to us. You can find our donate button. It's hidden in PodStation, but if you go to podcastindex.org and you scroll down to the bottom, big red donate button, hit that up. Dave, who can we thank as our supporters for this week for podcastindex.org?
Well, speaking of hosting companies, RSS.com.
Ah, there you go.
Benjamin and Alberto, they gave us $500.
Wow, man. And not only do they live up to their name, don't they? Hey, RSS.com. Yeah. It's RSS. It's important.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you guys. So they are very, very nice.
Ben sent us a message. He says, Admin Dave, here's some treasure for Podcast Index. Feel free to convert to sats and test sending to your faves. Might we suggest David Norman and Martin as a start? We're working on namespace updates and hope to have some news soon. Ooh. There's your tease from your friends at RSS.com podcast hosting, Alberto and Ben.
Wait a minute. What's the tease here? Are they teasing all kinds of namespace things?
I don't know. It just says we're working on namespace updates.
Okay. I love it.
It says, go podcasting.
Go podcasting! Ah, there's the crumple. Everybody loves the crumple.
Okay. Do you know this person? It is Renee Knigge.
Spell it.
Knigge.
Kniffe. No, I don't think so.
Kniffe.
From the Netherlands?
Is that Dutch?
Okay. Could be.
It looks like it's Dutch. Let me read it. ITM gents, I've been listening to NA since the start, on and off, and MoFax, on and off. And next, these high quality podcasts, a bunch of other ones. Podcasting 2.0 since the start, and love how it's evolved so far. The new index deserves all the support and love it gets. Here's my small part in supporting this. Gertz from Dan Helder, the Netherlands.
Very nice. Thank you.
Oh, greetings, I guess.
Yes. Well, in Dutch, we say groetjes. Okay. That would be like gruus in German. And somehow that when you say that, it turned into greets, G-R-E-E-T-Z. Is that what it says?
Or yeah, it says G-R-T-Z.
Yeah, that's a very Dutch thing to do. So,
okay.
Instead of groet, you say greets. Yeah, okay. And we appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, that was he gave us $50.
Nice.
Rene gave us $50.
Nice.
Thank you, Rene. Or wait, I don't understand. It says Rene, and then it says Dan Helder.
Oh, Dan Helder is the place he's from. That's Northern Holland. Yeah, been there many times.
All right, so thank you, Rene.
They have a helicopter landing pad up there, military.
Thomas Umstadt, he gave us $25, and he said, you should create a Podcast 2.0 certification badge that compliant apps and hosts can use.
Hey, don't we have those somewhere?
We do, and I just put it up on the namespace.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Yeah. Although I'm not happy with it because it says podcast index namespace. And I feel like it should just say like podcasting 2.0 or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me take a look.
If you go to the namespace repository and it's on the README and scroll all the way down to the bottom, It's pretty. It's very pretty. Benjamin Bellamy made it for us. But I feel like it shouldn't say our name.
No, what it should say is podcasting 2.0 certified.
Yeah,
that's what we need. That's what we need. Okay.
So if somebody can
grab that and morph it and change. I love that so much. Like, hey, I got to change to your website. Just pull request. Okay. Yep,
done.
I love that. That's the way it's supposed to work, man.
This will allow those of us on other apps to put pressure on our hosts to get podcasting 2.0 certified. I saw this happen with IAB certification. The peer pressure was intense. IAB certified hosts were cool.
Hey, I got an idea.
All right.
When you are podcasting 2.0 certified, which means you have, you're implementing multiple tags, you get, instead of paying for that badge from us, we give you a free node for a year.
I like it.
With a badge. So you get a badge that says you're compatible, and we give you a gift.
I like it.
Yeah.
You don't pay us. We pay you.
Exactly. We'll give you a node, and that will incentivize you to put up, to add the value tags. Because you can, and we'll add your node to the index, and you're good to go. Free from us.
I like it.
Value for value.
That's beautiful.
Don't pay $40,000 for an IAB certification. Have a free node.
Don't pay anything at all. IAB certified hosts were cool, even though most podcasters had no idea what AIB certification really meant.
Right?
Yeah.
Believe me, no one knows exactly what it is.
Thank you, Thomas. $25.
Yeah,
appreciate
great,
that.
Man. Thank you.
Yeah, I think he was on the Mastodon yesterday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Let's see. Who's this? Oh, okay. Dreb Scott gave us $26.
Dreb Scott, dude.
You need to stop, man.
Yeah, it's like time, talent, treasure. It doesn't have to be all three. You're doing time. Now, I'll get time, okay, because you'd listen to the show anyway. But your talent, you're very talented at making these chapters, adding images to it. Fuck it, that's time, too. You don't need to keep sending treasure, man. I appreciate it. And we're just sending it right back to him. Does he have a node now? Do we get him a node?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's getting sats. He's got a 5% split.
Where's his node? Is he a Sphinx node, or has he got his
own? Yeah, Sphinx.
Nice. Sphinx. That's how it should be, man.
Stop giving it back to us.
Yeah, we're sending it to you. Stop. Stop this
circular
thing. It's a
one-way street.
Stop the circular stuff.
Yeah, he says... a happy Ponemo supporter. give me a you've been defragmented jingle so I can hear my sassy little 4-year old while working on chapter markers.
You've been defragmented.
show number donation to go with my monthly aggregator donation. Keep up the great work, Dreb.
Nice. Oh man, Dreb, thank you so much, man. Yeah, big part of this revolution.
Yes, thank you, brother.
You know, without his chapter creation and the images, it wouldn't have pushed over the edge so quickly.
Yeah, he got chapters off the runway.
Yeah, I mean, people see it like, holy crap, look at all this stuff, and then you see the fun stuff he's doing with the, and even now he said, what did he say? He had an interesting question about chapters. I just wanted to add this to our hot namespace talk. Hold on a second. I think it was. NoAgendaSocial.com. Hold on a second. It was something. Hold on one moment. Yeah, so I gotta check.
Something about the way the chapters work.
It was about putting something, a link into the chapters when someone mentioned something. Gosh darn it, I can't remember now.
But did it have to do with the automated, the GPT-3 chapter stuff, maybe?
Here's the problem. I don't know if it was on, if he sent that message to me on the Mastodon for Podcast Index.
Email.
Anyway, why don't you continue?
We got one last donation. Yeah, do that, donation.
And I'll see if I can find this real quick.
This is $20 from, Super Serial Marketing LLC. It's Simon Aronowitz. And this is a long note. Let me see if I can do it justice here. In the morning, Adam and Dave, and thank you for your courage. Since shortly after you launched Podcast Index and the Podcasting 2.0 podcast, I've been following your progress intently. My business, Get Super Serial, fell into podcast and online TV show production last year after the lockdown meant nobody wanted to invest in marketing services. Our modest $20 is a small financial contribution to your worthy efforts to modernize podcasting while keeping it open and to celebrate the launch of our first show, The Show Business Show. Oh, yeah, I started listening to that yesterday.
Yeah.
Yep. Our first episode was released yesterday. And both video and podcast links can be found at www.showbusiness.show. Our focus is the business of podcasting and online shows. On our premiere episode, our guest was James Cridlin, editor of Pod News. We talked about the new announcement from Spotify, including monetization for podcasters. And I wonder if James was as cranky on that show as he is on Podland, because he is cranky about the value tag. He is not down with it.
He was cranky about it?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He was dissing it.
What did he say?
He said he doesn't think that it's a good idea to have to incentivize, to basically reward people for just having long shows, like the per minute set.
Well,
but he doesn't know about the boost.
How about just increasing your sats per minute? You can do it by show individually.
Yeah. Or boost it.
Yeah. Damn, man. He's burn! Cranky. What a burn! And I'm always sending him sats, and I'm always boosting him.
You gotta take some of that back.
No. He's an advertising guy. They're invested in all that. It's gonna take a while.
He's in Australia. He's in a funky time zone. He misses all the good stuff, and he's just aggravated about it.
So I found the note from Dreb Scott, and it wasn't all. That's spectacular than I thought. But he said, when people plug a website in their donation note, such as we just did.
Yep.
Are you okay with me creating a chapter that links to that? Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. So on this donation, say it again, and then we'll tell people they can click on the link in the chapter.
Yeah. Let's see. www.showbusiness.show. Where was I? I lost my place. Oh, yeah. Here it is. We talked about the new announcements for Spotify, blah, blah, blah. We played several clips, including one from Podcasting 2.0, episode 24. Adam, the time code is 5335, though I hope you'll find time to listen to the whole thing. As well as some opinions about Adam's views on free speech and streaming value for value. James also has some very spicy comments about Joe Rogan. Ooh.
Now, wait a minute.
I'm not to that point
yet. Wait a minute. So James was grumpy about the value for value on the Show Business Show?
No, on the Pod News. Podland. I'm
Podland.
Sorry,
Podland. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I just got to know what to listen to first.
We like James a lot, and this is anything but throwing him under the bus. We know we get some great content from our first episode, and we'll be clipping it accordingly. We are video first, so we are hoping for some virality from the interwebs. We were always marketers first, but also always through creating high quality and persuasive content. Grab them with a strong headline. That's why, in part, we're big fans of Podcasting 2.0's objectives. My business partner, Billy, and I are very much looking forward to making the most out of the new feature set, including streaming value for value. We're also both free speech advocates, and so accordingly has a constitutional right to say what he wants. I, on the other hand, living in the northwest of England, live under the crown and such. This is a long note. I'm not sure if I can read all this.
Well, let me... Okay. Yeah. Can you finish the note?
Yeah, I'll just jump in. See, I'll wrap this up now and apologize for the verbosity of this note. However, this is a huge vote of support for what y'all are doing. In closing, I'd like to invite those listening again to check out the Show Business Show at www.showbusiness.show.
And if you didn't see that pop up in your podcast app, you've got an old app. Yeah. you need to get one of those newfangled apps and go to newpodcastapps.com. I can't get over this, and we need to bring Guillermo back in because are you still there, Guillermo? Are you asleep? Are you with us?
I'm here. I think they should read the full note because then we'll have more set streaming.
Well, let me think of, you know, this is a very interesting thing. I'd never considered this as an objection, but isn't it the same? I mean, isn't it ultimately your time? That time is money. Your time is valuable. If you have a short podcast, you can't have a mid roll and a beginning roll and an end roll. You know, so you also will have less income technically, unless you jam it full of ads. I don't see how it's unfair. I think it's one of the most fair things I've ever heard of, particularly because you can set the money you send yourself.
Oh, okay. So the example you used was Pod News. Pod News is a very short show, but he makes a valid point. He says it's very short, but it's very valuable. And I agree, but that's where the boost is. And that's where you jack your slider up.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. And I'm always hitting a boost on him.
Yeah. You set your boost to, you know, to 5,000 sats or 10,000 sats and just pop, pop, pop.
This is where we could really use the, I think was part of your documentation, the recommended sats per minute.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that should be for a shorter show. That should be set higher.
Or if somebody just believes their show is very valuable.
Yeah. Well, okay. I have to listen to what he said. No, I really appreciate this kind of, I appreciate all criticism and all kinds of feedback. I just want to make sure if I'm understanding the problem right. Cause I think this is something that's easily addressed without even changing anything. It's just a philosophy.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the parts are already there.
Well, what I'm going to do now is, let me see. So I'm streaming at, let me just see what I'm, because I always listen to it on PodStation, or almost always. So let me just see. So
what, Podland or Pod News?
Pod News. Okay. So I'm just thinking, so Pod News is typically about 3 minutes. Let's just say three minutes is probably fair. Well, 4 minutes. And let me see, I'm streaming at 3,000 sats per hour. So what is that, 50 sats a minute? Am I saying that right?
Oh, don't ask me to do math.
I think so. Guillermo, is that right? You've had your head into it, right?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm terrible at this kind of math.
So if I have 50 sats times 60 minutes, that's 3,000.
Yeah, that's
okay. Right. All right, I'm going to up that. I'm going to boost him $5.
Oh,
yeah.
You're putting your money where your mouth is.
Just right. Hey, baller boost right here. Baller boost. Baller boost.
All right.
I want him to be happy. I want everybody to be happy. Guillermo, how can I make you happy? What can we do to make your life better as a developer?
Just keep using PodStation and streaming the sets to me, and I'm happy.
That's streaming the sets, baby. Oh, very nice. Very nice. All right, Dave, anything we can do for you to make your life easier?
Gosh. Maybe. I don't know what it is, though.
Okay, well, you will send me a memo, and I will and put me on the distribution list, on the mail stop. What do we have coming up in the next week? Do you think the Breeze guys are getting close to releasing next week? Do you think anything like that?
I spent the last few days heads down doing documentation, mostly for them because they really wanted to have some stuff to link to when they did their release. So,
which is cool.
I've got the documentation coming. The documentation posted, and then wrote a blog post just to give some context to it. So I think they're close. I don't know how close.
Well, I follow Breeze Mobile on GitHub. And, you know, there's pull requests like, which I thought was really cool. Notify the user if funds are running low while playing a podcast. I'm like, yeah, this is good.
That's a good idea.
This is good. Just a little hint there, Guillermo. Just saying, you know, there's UX stuff that people like. Get more money. Get more stats.
That's a good flowing. Idea.
Yeah.
No, all of PodStation's funding links go back to Guillermo anyway.
So yeah, that's right. He just sent it to him directly.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Well, Guillermo, thank you so much for joining us. It was great to get to know you a little bit better. And thank you so much for the value you're bringing to the entire project. It's really appreciated.
Thank you. It was great to be here.
Dave, last words for you.
Now I've got to return to work and actually do real day job stuff. So are my words. My words are,
we all have day jobs. All right. Guillermo, thanks again, man. Have yourself a great weekend. Dave, have a good weekend, my friend. That's it for our board meeting. We'll do another one next week. Podcasting 2.0, podcastindex.org. See you then.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Podcasts are cool.
Go podcasting!